Okay, Rabosai. So we're on Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, and we're kind of smack in the middle of the Amud, and officially we're up to the word Mida Ka'amar, which is one line below Tosis Divra Maskel Rab Yossi. But I think we want to just review that very long and complicated Brisa with the Gina and the Share Gina and the base Shar Gina. And let's say the following. The Brisa records a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, which really reflects a previous machlokas that we studied. And that is the question as to whether or not you're allowed to stand in one rishus and lock a door or unlock a door in another rishus. And Rabbi Meir is the Machmir, and the Chacham are the Mekilim. However, the catch-22 here in this Brisa is at some point, the Brisa seems to shift its presentation of Rabbi Meir and offer a different presentation of Rabbi Meir. So let's break up the Brisa into three parts. There's the Reisha of Rabbi Meir, the Sefer Rabbi Meir, and then the Chacham. Now, there's part of this Brisa that is lenient before it introduces the Chumra of Rabbi Meir. And that leniency is obviously universal, meaning the Chachamim accept it as well. And the leniency applies in the following two cases. There is a Rishus HaRabim, and then there is a Gina, and there's a gate between the two. Now, in a normal situation, before we get to what's called the base Shar, all you have is Shar HaGina that separates the Rishus HaRabim from the Gina. So we have a serious problem if we're going to allow someone to stand out in the Rishus HaRabim and lock the door of the gate to the Gina, because either the gate itself might be, or the manual might be a Rishus HaYochid, again we'll talk about that, or alternatively it's part of the Gina, which is a Carmelis, and we don't allow carrying from Rishus HaRabim to a Carmelis. And now it becomes irrelevant whether he's locking it from the inside or from the outside. In both cases, he's going to violate the Isur Carmelis. But our Brisa addresses a case where there's a base Shar. It's not just the gate, but there's also a small structure, we'll call it a Trif, and that Trif is a Rishus HaRabim. Now, assuming the gate is inside the Trif, and we'll give two different scenarios for that, then when he picks up the key, he is standing inside the Bayis, he's in the Rishus HaYochid, and he's locking the gate, which is also located in the Rishus HaYochid. And therefore everyone will be matir that. And again, it could be in two directions. It could be that you enter into the Bayis from the Rishus HaRabim, and you move towards the Gina, and you lock the gate from with inside the bias, or the opposite. You enter the bias from the Gina, and you lock the gate at the other side that separates the bias from the Rishus HaRabim. It's irrelevant. In both cases, he's allowed to lock the door, according to everyone, even according to Rabbi Meir, because he is picking up the key inside the bias, and he's locking the gate inside the bias, and therefore it's Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaYochid. If again, there's no bias, not here nor there, then he is standing either in Rishus HaRabim, and he is locking the gate in a Carmelis, or he's standing in a Carmelis, and he might be locking the gate in Rishus HaRabim. And that's also according to everyone. Now we have a third case where there is a bias mikan umikan. He actually has a longer kind of a tzrif, and once again, he's locking his gate inside the tzrif, and therefore, no matter which direction he's coming from, everything is in a rishus hayoch. So I'll just quickly read that part of the Braisa. The Braisa says that Pischei Shari Gina Bizman Sheishlan Beis Shar is Mibifnim Posef and Ol Mibifnim and Mibachutz Posef and Ol Mibachutz. So that means that he is locking this minol, which is inside of Rishus HaYochid, from within Rishus HaYochid. Again, whether or not the, you know, the person is coming from the Gina into the Beis Shar, or he's coming from Rishus HaRabim into the Beis Shar, but in any event, the minol and the gate, the lock of the gate, is located inside the bayis, and therefore it's Rishus HaYochid, everything is mutter. And therefore, it's fine. Mikan umikan. And let's say there's a bias on both sides. So, posech v'nol mikan umikan. Then, ein lehem, beishar. There is no beishar. Not here, nor there. Not towards the Gina, nor towards the Rishus HaRabim. Is therefore surim mikan umikan. Now, I have a note over here that I just wanted to share with you, that Asur Mikan Umikan, there's an extra chidush here, and that is that the Man'ul itself, to lock up this gate, and the Mafteach that is apparently resting on top of this Man'ul, that's all in Rishus HaYochid, meaning if the Man'ul is 10 Tfachim high and it's 4 Tfachim wide, again, it's hard for me to imagine this, you know, in reality, but in any event, the Man'ul apparently and the Mafteach that's on top of the Man'ul is all in Rishus HaYochid. So therefore, you would think that by taking the lock, by taking the key and locking the lock, everything is within Rishus HaYochid, it should be mutter. But the answer is, where is he standing? He's the other standing out in Rishus HaRabim when he locks the gate, or he's standing inside the Gino when he locks the gate. And in any event, no matter how you slice the cake, that's asur, because if he's standing in Rishus HaRabim, he's not allowed to pick up a mafteach that's in a Rishus HaYochid. If he's standing in a Carmelist, the same will apply, because he's taking from the Carmelis into Rishus HaYochid. And again, all this is because he's carrying the key in order to place it inside the Man'ul and lock the lock, we'll call it. Then the Braisa goes on to discuss a case of Chanios HaPsuchos Rishus HaRabim. And the question now is, where is the Man'ul, and what's the status of the location of the Man'ul? The Braisa differentiates. If it's a Man'ul Mata Me'asara, then halacha is that if you have an area that's in a Rishus HaRabim, it's below Asara Tfachim. If it's less than 4 Tfachim in width, it has the status of a Carmelis. And therefore, we have a serious problem here. If he wants to stand, let's say, in Rishus HaRabim, and now lock up the lock, which is located in a Carmelis, so he wants to lock up his Chanus, which is presumably standing outside his Chanus, in a Rishus HaRabim, now he wants to lock it, and the Man'ul itself has the status of a Carmelis. Therefore, he's going to be carrying the key in order to lock the Man'ul as he's standing in a Rishus HaRabim, picking it up in a Carmelis and relocating it in another area of that same Carmelis. So the Braisa advocates a solution to this problem. He should bring the Mafteach on Erev Shabbos, and where should he put the Mafteach? he should put the mafteach on the iskupa. Now the iskupa, which is, as we said many times, is the threshold, is above 3 tefachim, and it has the width of 4 tefachim. It's a karmelis. So now the key is located in a karmelis. And lemachar, on Shabbos itself, he's going to stand on the iskupa. So he now is standing in a karmelis. He's going to pick up the mafteach from the karmelis. Uposeach v'noel. And now he is locking the man'ul, which is below 10 tefachim, which means that the man'ul itself is in a karmelis. Umachziro liskupa. So he took the key from a karmelis. He was standing in a karmelis. He used the key to lock the man'ul, which is in the karmelis, and he replaced it back on the iskupa, which is in a karmelis. However, bizman shaman'ul l'mala me'asora, if the man'ul is both 4 tefachim wide and 10 tefachim high, so the man'ul is like, shoulder length, or shoulder height, I should say, right? Then the man'ul is a reshus hayachid. And here, even the Chachamim will agree to Rabbi Meir that if he's standing on the iskupa, and that's where he put the mafteach, he's not going to be allowed on Shabbos to lock this man'ul, because the man'ul is reshus hayochid. It's both lemal me'asor tefachim and it's 4 tefachim wide. So, what solution can we recommend in such a case? Maybe mafteach maybe Shabbos me'nichu ben man'ul. He's got to put the key inside the lock. You know, very often you do that because you don't want to lose the key, so you keep it in the man'ul. And then you just turn it to lock it. So now what happens is that the man'ul is a reshus hayochid, and he's not bringing it from neither a karmelis nor a reshus harabim into a reshus hayochid, he's just locking it. Ulamachar poseach v'nol machzir l'mkomo. Now again, you might ask, so what's the chiddush over here? If he's just turning the key, why would I think that's asur? And the answer is because he's standing in a karmelis. And if he's standing in karmelis, we have the fear, perhaps, that he may take the key and put it down on the iskupa or inside the gina. He'll take it with him, and he will violate the iser of hotzah mirshus hayachid into a karmelis. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Now, Rabosai, the Havamina here is exactly the Shita of Rabbi Meir. And the Maskana is antithetical to Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir was the one who said that if you're standing in a karmelis, we're not going to allow you to lock a door in a Rishus HaYochid or in a Rishus HaRam, because we're always afraid that you might bring the key back to where you're standing in a karmelis. And even though you and I would have said that's a gzera, but Rabbi Meir insisted that it's not called the Gzera L'Gzera. And when it comes to a karmelis, we're very machmir, and we have to be afraid that he might carry something into a karmelis. So this is the part of the Braisa which indicates that Rabbi Meir seems to have pulled back from his original position. Again, everything else in this Braisa fits into place, but this last case, where the man'ul is above asorat tefachim, meaning the man'ul itself is reshus hayachid, and we're going to allow him to lock the door when he's standing in a karmelis, that is antithetical to Rabbi Meir. And that's what the Gemara is going to pick up a little bit later. We'll get to it hopefully in a few minutes. Chachomim omrim, af bizman shaman'ul l'mal me'asorat tefachim, mevi mafteach me'erev shavz me'nichu biskupa. The Chachamim say that the same recommendation that we had before, that on Erev Shabbos he places the mafteach down on the iskupa, which is a karmelis, ulamachar poseach v'nol l'matzilum imkomo, this is permissible even in the case where the man'ul has the status of reshus hayochid. And the reason for this is because he is carrying... One second. So, again, he put the maftech and the karmelis on Erev Shabbos in the skupa. So this is also very problematic, because he's in effect picking up... Because, again, the Chacham is saying you don't have to place the key inside the man'ul. That's not necessary. You can place the key on the skupa. Now, how is that going to help you? Even the Chachamim agree that you're not allowed to carry from an Eskupa into a Rishus HaYachid. So how is he going to lift up the Mafteach from the Eskupa and close the Manul when the Manul itself is Rishus HaYachid? Ulamacha Poseach V'Noel U'machziru L'mkomo. That's even more of a pella. He doesn't even have to leave the key inside the lock. He can replace the key exactly where it was before in the Eskupa, which is a Carmelis, and therefore he's violating the Isur of Hotzah Mirishus HaYachid into a Carmelis. So this has to be ironed out, as we'll see in the Gemara. Oh, b'chalon shal gabi ha-Pesach. Or, for example, let's say that on top of this entranceway, there's a little bit of a sill, you know, some sort of a platform, so to speak, and it's not four tefachim wide. And this we can understand, because now, if it's not four tefachim wide, this chalon has the status of a makom p'tur, so that we're going to allow him to take it from Rishus HaYochid into a makom p'tur. However, in the Yesh b'chalon arba, now this window is 4x4 tefachim. Again, it's not 10 tefachim in height, so it can't be Rishus HaYochid. On the other hand, it can't be a makom p'tur if it's rochav arbal arba and it's above 3 tefachim from the ground, between 3 and 10 tefachim. Is awesome in Neshu Kemotzim Rishus L'Shus. He cannot take the Mafteach from the Carmelis and put it into the Chalon, because now what he has is a case of a Chalon which is a Carmelis. So the Gemara now analyzes this Brisa. Midika Omar V'chein Chanuyos. The Brisa assumes an equation, an analogy between two cases. We have the case in the Reisha of the Gina and in the Seifa of the Chanuyot. Is Michlal to be Skupas Carmelis Askina? In other words, the Eskupa is more than 3 Tvachim high, less than 10 Tvachim high. It's between 3 and 10 Tvachim. And it's a Carmelis because in that height between 3 and 10, if it's 4 tefachim square wide, if it's rochav arbal arba, then we're talking about the eskupa of Chanios. So the Gemara asks the following question. Haimanul hechi dami. When he's standing outside and he wants to lock the door of his store, of his chanus, which is now he's standing in Rishus HaRabin, what's the status of this manul? Idolespe arba. If this manul is a structure that's less than 4 tefachim wide, then a makom p'turhu. If it's above 3 tefachim, less than 10 tefachim high, and it's less than 4 tefachim wide, then it's a makom p'tur. So why does Rabbi Meir say that you're not allowed to be metaltel from the eskupa to the manul if it's 10 tefachim high, when you're allowed to take from any rishus into a makom p'tur? The e ispe arba, if on the other hand, not only this manul is above 10 tefachim, but it's also 4 tefachim, which means that now it has the status of rishus hayachid, is bahal lema rabbanon. How is it possible that the Rabbanan made the statement, Af bizman shamanul umalame asor, maybe mafteach me'er v'shaz menicho b'skupa? Right now we're saying the eskupa is 4 tefachim wide, which means it's the status of a Carmelis, and that equates it to the case of Gina, which is listed in the ratio of this price. Is how could the Rabbanan say, L'mochah poseach v'noel v'machzer eskupa l'chalon shal gabi ha-pesach ha-mekal mitaltel Carmelis? He's carrying min ha iskupa, which is a Carmelis, to the minol, which is Rishus HaYochid, it's a Malabi Asara, and it's 4 tefachim wide. And that was the second kasha that we asked. Omar Abaye liolim di ein bo arba. Really, the manul does not have the depth of 4 tefachim. And nevertheless, the yeshbo lochuk. So this gives us the sugya, if you happen to remember, which is called Chokikim Lahashlin. that sometimes if we have an airspace, when you have something that it is more narrow on the bottom, but it has a wider airspace on top, and the airspace now above the man'ul, in the deles, they sort of like carve out an area of the deles where they locate the man'ul. So even though the man'ul itself doesn't measure 4 tefachim in width, but lachuk ulashlim oli arba, but yet, because of the airspace that surrounds this man'ul, which is again an inset in the deles, you could be chokek lahashlim, and you could be mitzarif the airspace to the actual physical man'ul, and be mashlim liarba. Ubahaka miflugi. Rabbi Meir savor chokin lahashlim, Rabbanan savi ein chokin lahashlim. The reason why Rabbi Meir is machmir in this case is because if you could be mashlim the shir, because there's a certain area that lends itself for chakika, meaning you can broaden the area by being mashlim the shir through chakika, so we look at it as if he was already nechkak, and already has the shir. In other words, the potential for chakika is actualized as if it were a reality, as if it was it was already implemented because of the principle of chokikin lahashlim. And now if we would add the area of the door to the minhal itself, we're going to have 4 tefachim, then it has a din of rishus hayochid. And therefore he's not going to be allowed to take the mafteach from the Carmelis, where he's standing, and open up this man'ul, because the man'ul has the status of rishus hayochid based on the principle of chokin lahashlim, abon and savriyim chokin lahashlim, and therefore they don't accept this principle of chakika. So if the rochav is 4 tefachim, then it's rishus hayochid, but if the rochav is less than 4 tefachim, then we're not going to consider it as a rishus hayochid. On the contrary, it becomes a mokum p'tur, and you can be metalta from a carmelis into the man'ul. Omar Rav Bibi Barabai Shmamino Meho Masnisa Tlas. So we're going to derive 3 things from this price. Number 1, Shmamino, this is according to Rabbi Meir, that Chokin Lahashlim, and that's why you're not allowed to be metal to the Mafteh from the Iskupa to the Man'ul, which is above 10 Tvachim. As we said before, we give it the status, this Man'ul, the status of Shayachid, because of the principle of Chokin Lahashlim. Shmamino, we should further derive from this brisa that if Rabbi Meir was matir to someone who's standing on the iskupa, which has the status of a karmelist, to take the mafteach from the man'ul or on top of the man'ul, and the man'ul is rishus hayochid, and we're not afraid that maybe he would bring back the man'ul into his rishus where he's standing, is hader bei Rabbi Meir, that the end of the brisa is really reflecting Rabbi Meir in a later period of time, in a later history in his life, when he rescinded his original svara. In other words, originally Rabbi Meir said that Shari Gina, which is a Carmelis, we're always afraid that if he locks the door of the Shari Gina, and he's standing, let's say, in a Rishus HaRabim, we're afraid that he's going to take the key back into Rishus HaRabim from a Carmelis. And again, even though, as we said a million times, that sounds like Zeru L'Xeru, but that's the Chumra of a Carmelis. And now Rabbi Meir, all of a sudden, in the Brisa, is quoted as, recorded as a lenient position, a laid-back position, and he says that if he's locking this door, even though he's standing on the Iskupa, which is a Carmelis, and he's locking the door, which is a Man'ul above 10 Tfachim, and it therefore has the status of Shusha Yoch, we're not afraid that maybe he's going to take the key back to him and violate the Iser of Hachnosa LeKarmelis. And thirdly, Shmamino number 3, Midrabbanan, that from the fact that the Rabbanan prohibit taking the Mafteach after the Ne'ila and putting it in a Mokum Tur and a Chalon, he says, Isa de Rabbi Dimi, this must be the Shita of Rav Dimi, that The chiyaser of Dimi Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Mokom Sheishbo Arba al Arba, Mutal Ibnei Rishus Sheinbo Arba al Arba. So you have now a Carmelis. Is Mutal Ibnei Rishus Arabim, Ul Ibnei Rishus Ayochid, Lekatef Olav. So the Bnei Rishus Arabim are standing in Rishus Arabim. They're allowed to put down their packages, that's called Lekatef, on a Mokom Ptur. Somebody who's standing in Rishus HaYochid likewise is allowed to be Makatef and in effect put his package down on a Mokum Ptur, but Vad Shelo Yachlifu, as long as they don't work in tandem. And Reuven, who's standing in Rishus HaYochid, says to Shimon, look, I'm going to put this package down in a Mokum Ptur so that you will pick up the package from the Mokum Ptur and take it out to Rishus HaRabim. And this is how, you know, Reuven could Bechachma Gedola get his package from Rishus HaYochid on Shabbos into Rishus HaRabim. And the Rabbanan prohibited this because of the Gzera, that people are going to say that this Chefetz that was once in Rishus HaYochid and now we find in Rishus HaRabim, maybe it was carried from one Rishus directly into another Rishus, and they may be Mekil and think that you're allowed, it's Mutter on Shabbos to be Maver Chefetz me one Rishus to another Rishus. They don't realize that the only reason it was Mutter technically was because it went through a Mokum Ptur in the middle. And now we're going to apply this principle of Rav Dimi to understand the Chachomim in the Braisa. And he says, if I just read it to you out loud, and this is based on Tosfos, he says, Lamanu midivrei Chachomim. In our brisa, shegam chefet sheigia mikarmelis el mokum tur, gazru shelo laaviro misham lirshus hayochid. So what does this mean? The Rabbanan say that you're not allowed to carry the mafteach after you locked it from the manul. Let's say the manul is less than 4 tefachim wide, so it has the status of rishus of a mokum tur, excuse me. And you're not allowed to put it down on a chalon that has the status of Rishus HaYochid, meaning it's 4 tefachim wide. So to take the key after you lock the door, and again, the Manu'ul itself is a Mokum Ptur, and carry the key and place it down on the Chalon, and the reason for that is because this key came from an Eskupa, which is a Carmelis. So he's taking the key from the Carmelis to lock the door, which is a Mokum Ptur, and now he wants to take the key and put it in a Rishus HaYochid. We're not going to allow him to do it because the key started in a Carmelis in the Eskupa, ended up on the Chalon, which is a Rishus HaYochid, through a Mokum Ptur. So in effect, it went from one Rishus to another Rishus through a Mokum Ptur, and that's going to be like the Sefer, the second case of Rav Dimi, where the chefet started from one rishus and ended up in another rishus. It started in Rishus HaYochid, and through a Mokum Ptur, it ended up in Rishus HaRabim. And we're not going to allow that, because that's too similar to Otsah. And the Chacham is saying that if you have an object, in this case the Mafteach, that came from the Carmelis, from the Eskupa, into a Mokum Ptur, that means the Man'ul, which is less than 4 tefachim, they're not going to allow you to now put it down on the Chalon, which is Rishus HaYochid, because it starts with one Rishus and ends up in a different Rishus. Now, we can derive Rav Dimi's conclusion from the Braisa with a Kal Vachomer. Rav Dimi is talking about a case where the object is going to end up in Rishus HaRabim, whereas the Braisa is talking about a case where the object is going to end up in Rishus HaYochid, but it started in Carmelis. You see, in Rav Dimi's scenario, it started in Rishus HaYochid, and if Reuven and Shimon are working in tandem, it ends up in Rishus HaRabim, so it went from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. And that's also. For sure that's also, because the Chachamim in this price are prohibited to go from a Carmelis through a Mokum Ptur and end up in Rishus HaYochid. It went from the Eskupa through the Manul, which is a Mokum Ptur, out onto the sill, onto the Chalon, which is Rishus HaYochid, and that's prohibited. So if you're not allowed to end up through a Mokum Ptur taking an object from a Carmelis into a Rishus HaYochid, how much more so you're not going to allow, as Rav Dimi prohibited it, to start in Rishus HaYachid and end in Rishus HaRavim with a Makom Ptur in the middle. And this leads us to the next Mishnah, which is called a Neger. Now, I have here a Hebrew translation of the word Neger, but I'm going to use the English translation because this is a reality that's a little bit far from our reality, our sociology. And we're talking about a neger. So he says that a neger, again, this is all, you know, you have a hole in the door, and we want to make sure that the door is held in place. So he has something called a neger. A neger is a bolt. So again, we have a hole in the door, and we have the door itself. And somehow, we'll see exactly how as we go along, they would take a bolt and wedge it into that hole, and that's how we kept the door in place. You know, our contemporary life, it's not contemporary, I mean, this goes back who knows how long, is that the door is held in place by hinges that are attached to the frame of the door. But they had a different way of attaching the door. They had a hole which was on the ground, let's say on the escupa, we'll say, I'm just throwing out a possibility, on the threshold, and they attached the door to this hole with a neger. A neger is a bolt. Now, the problem is going to be a mukta problem, and also perhaps dome lebinyan, but the solution to this problem, at least according to Rabbi Yossi, is going to be yesh barosho glustera. And that bolt has a knob on its end. That knob, which is called a glustera, has the status of a kli. And as we go through the sugya, we're going to try to analyze how the kli itself will be, since a kli is not mukta, can be matir, according to Rabbi Yossi at least, the neger that's attached to this glustera. So do you follow? The neger itself would probably qualify as mukta because it's used in the context of building, right? It's meant to hold the door in its place. But in this particular case, in our Mishnah, that neger, which normally would be mukta, has a knob on its end. Now again, I don't think that the word knob here, when we talk about glustera, is necessarily identical to what we call a doorknob, because after all, this glustera, this knob, is serving a neger. But again, it might depend upon the length of the string, of the rope, that attaches the neger to this glustera. So it could, I don't know, let's leave that for the time being. Anyway, what's important for us is that the Mishnah records the following machlokas. Rabbi Eliezer Oser, Rabbi Eliezer says you're not allowed to use this neger, despite the fact that it has at its end a glustera, this knob, as we said before. And Rabbi Yossi Mati. And Rabbi Yossi holds that the glustera, this knob at its end, since it has the status of a kli and it can be used for something, we'll see exactly what it's used for, and it's attached to the bolt, as we said, to the neger, then the neger itself somehow magically gets upgraded to the status of a kli, and therefore it's no longer mukta. Now, he has a very important note over here, which I wanted to share with you. And it's based on a Rashi later on in this chapter, Rashi says that the act of inserting a bolt into its hole in the threshold of this building is equivalent to driving a peg into a wall. So again, we're not talking about, in our Mishnah, this is not a subject of debate. Are you allowed to insert the bolt into the hole in the threshold? The bolt has to be located in the threshold, because otherwise, anytime you drive something, a peg or whatever it is, into a wall, that's a violation of Aleches Bona Doraisa. Therefore, he says that we must be talking about a case where the bolt is already attached to the threshold. So he doesn't have to insert the bolt into the threshold. Now he goes on and he has another comment here. He says that even if you were to insert the bolt into the hole in the threshold, that would not be a violation of Meleches Bona Doraisa, because he says that this bolt is a plain lump of wood or metal, and that somehow reduces the Meleches Bona from a Doraisa to a Drabona. Now, our Mishnah is talking about a case of a bolt that has a knob at its end. The knob transforms the bolt into a utensil that is useful, as we're going to see soon. So again, what we're saying here is that because of the way this bolt is created, is structured and manufactured and so forth, even Rabbi Eliezer would hold that there's no violation of Meleches Bona Doraisa. So the only question here, and the subject of the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yossi, is on a Drabonon level. Now, Rabbi Eliezer quotes a story as a proof against Rabbi Yossi. Maisa b'knesses shebe Tveria. So we had a base knesses in Tveria. Shohayu nogimo heter. Okay, they were matir. And they used the bolt on Shabbos, even though a bolt would normally be considered muktzah, because it's near a kibinyan, but nevertheless, since it's attached to a gustera, which we said was a knob, a glustera, excuse me, acheborav gamliel vaskena v'yosru lahem. So according to this version of the story, the bottom line is that Rav Gamliel and the Chachamim decided to prohibit this, and that would support the position and the ruling of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yossi had a different variation of the story, and it's just the opposite. Isuro Nagubo. They would not allow to use the bolt, this neger, on Shabbos. And the final maskana is that it's mutter. So we have two versions exactly how the story came about. What came first, the heter and then the isur, or the isur and then the heter. And that's the machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yossi. So now the Gemara qualifies this machlokes in the Mishnah. And the Gemara says the following. Benital biagdo kulialma lo pligi, there is no machlokes in that case of nital biagdo. He says the following. Nagar hakashur vitalui bechevel chazak, she'efshal etaltel al yodo velo yiposek achevel. So this bolt, as we called it, is locked into place. It is tied down with a very heavy rope, a very strong rope. and you could move this nager from place to place without ripping the chevel. The chevel, as we said before, is a very strong chevel. So the bolt can be picked up by the cord to which it's tied. So in other words, it's tied to the door, as we said before, with a cord that is sufficiently strong for the bolt to be raised and moved by the cord. Is kuliyama lo pligi. Bein Rabbi Yossi, bein Rabbi Eliezer, einam cholkim umuto linolbo. You'd be allowed to use this bolt to lock your door on Shabbos. And why is that so? Kevon shekosher v'tolui. It has two pluses to it. Number one, it's tied to the threshold of the door. Number two, it's tolui, meaning it's so to speak, movable in a way that, on the one hand, it's part of the deles because it's tied down to the deles, and on the other hand, you can move it around without disrupting the cord. The omed lina'ila, and therefore was clearly designated for the purpose of locking the door, is therefore, this is not being considered anything similar to binyan, which would be a reason to prohibit it, and it's considered part of the structure of the door itself. And he says in the footnote, "Benagar sheyesh baroso glustera, bo amra she benital beigudo mutal linol bo lidiri akol." And what's going on here is that there are two issues that have to be addressed independently. One is the issue of the nagar itself. In other words, is it? Can you use that bolt to lock your door on Shabbos because it might be a structural change in the building, and that be near a kibbona? And there's another issue here about the nagar and its status as mukta. So when you move the nagar to close the door, you're violating the tiltul mukta. The first issue can be addressed by the case of nital biagudo, meaning that it's tied down in such a way that it's clearly designated for and is part of the deles. It's not mechse kivbone. And the second issue would be addressed is because it's attached to a glustera, and the glustera itself is a kli, and therefore it gives the status of the neger that of a kli. So that's not a subject of machlokes, and even Rabbi Eliezer would agree that you're allowed to use this neger because since it's tied to the door with a very strong rope, then obviously he's not adding something to the structure of the building, and therefore it's not near a kibbona. And again, as we said, it's attached to a glister, and therefore it's not mukt. Ki pligi, what is the subject of this machlokes? And here we turn to daf kuf beis b'she'eno nital b'igudo, where the bolt cannot be picked up by the cord, to which is the cord is a very thin, weak cord, and if we lifted up the bolt, the cord would snap. Mar Savar, according to Rabbi Yossi, is came in the Yesh Barosho Glustera, Torres Kliole, and therefore, if it's a Kli, then it's not Mechse Kibbone. Mar Savar, came in the Eno Nital Bigudo, Lo. In other words, since the bolt cannot be picked up by the cord to which it's tied, it may not be used. So he writes here that a bolt that is tied to the door in an inadequate fashion is like a bolt that's not attached to the door at all. And if it's completely unattached, then we're not allowed to use it. Comes along Rabbi Yossi, and he says, but yesh berosho glustera. So that even though, you're right, the bolt in and of itself is not attached to the door in an adequate fashion, and therefore to attach it to the door would be mechzei kibona, but in this case we could be mater it because of the fact that there's a glustera, that the neger is attached to a glustera. And that's called Torah's kli ale. So let's see if we can add a little bit of light here to this Torah's kli ale. He says the following. Nikar she'eno kovea shom li olam v'dai beheker ze lahatir es hane'ila bo. In other words, by attaching this neger to a glustera, he indicates that he's not permanently attaching the neger to the door, and that heker is going to allow him to use the neger to lock the door. Okay, so that is the shita of Rabbi Yossi. Now, according to Rabbi Yossi, we clearly see that the neger is attached to the glustera. What about the attachment between the neger and the threshold of the bayis? So here we have a major machlokus in the Rishonim. We have the Ritva and Tosis Rid. They understood that according to Rabbi Yossi, there is some sort of a kesher, some sort of a cord that attaches the neger to the door of the house, just that it's a weak cord, it's a kosher ktsas. And now we have A plus B. We have glustera plus kshira. If we have both of these together, then it becomes clear that it is nikar, that is, it is not kavul yolam, that it's only a temporary kind of closure. So that's enough to be matir ne'ila, to use it to close, to lock the door. And he has a whole list of other Rishonim that apparently agree. And who disagrees? Now, we're not clear exactly who disagrees, but anyway, the Achronim claim that Rashi might disagree. And this is a Beis Yosef, or a Chaim Siman Shin Yud Gimel, and the Bir Agra there. They say that, you know what, even though the Gemara doesn't mention, according to Rabbi Yossi, that it's Eino Kosher Klal, and you don't even need to tie down the bolt to the door, but Eino Chinami, that's true. The reason why the Gemara doesn't mention it, says the Beis Yossi slash Mienu Es Das Rabbi Eliezer She'af She'Kosher, even though it is tied down, but it's a weak kind of a cord, the Eino Nito Bigudo is therefore Lo Yinolpo. So the Gemara is interested in Kosher, not as a precondition for the Heter of Rabbi Yossi, but to be Mechadesh, to what extent Rabbi Eliezer is Machmir, and that's called Kesher She'Eino Nital Bigudo. Now, he says, Taimo shel Rabbi Yossi, shaglustera nosenes lenager shem kli. Why does Rabbi Yossi assume that somehow the addition of this glustera, which is that round knob, gives the nagar a shem kli? And l'chora, if it does give the nagar a shem kli, then we should support the opinion of the Beis Yosef and also the Gaon in Rashi that you don't need kosher at all. He says the following, that even though we medayik from Rashi that the heter of Yossi is gam below kshira klal, he says that Rabbi Yossi's shita is that it's the glustera that is matir the neger. And why is that? Because the glustera has a shame kli. Let's just see. Right, maybe it's Ein Binyan B'Kelim, but I'm just trying to figure out why is it that Rabbi Eliezer says that we need kosher and the Torah's Kli is not sufficient, whereas Rabbi Yossi says we don't need kosher at all according to this shot, and the Torah's Kli is enough to be matir. That's the part of this machlokes that I don't understand.
Read the top rush.
Eino nitel bi gudo shachevel dak. Okay, so it's a very weak chevel.
Chevel is strong. Everybody agrees that it's part of the door. So the machloket is only one where the chevel is dak.
Right, dak means thin in this case.
Right.
All right. So imo yerotza litlo misham. Ulataltalo al de oso chevamiad nifsak. Is Rabbi Eliezer's sovereign came chain of nital be gudo havile kemishaino kosher utnan le kamon? So Rashi says we have to know another Mishnah, which is the next Mishnah that we're going to learn on this daf, is that neger hamunach shaino kosher bedelis a nolimbo. So it's like he's adding something to the door and it's nirek bona. Why? Because it's not in any way connected to the door. And that's because the chevel is so weak. So it's considered as if it's eino kosher, and you're adding something to the structure that's not part of the structure of the building. Oh, now I want to get to the machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Eliezer. Mishum glustera lo sharile. Rabbi Yossi over glustera mahanyale. Oh, okay. So Rashi just more or less repeats what we know. He came into kliu lo havi kibini.
Eliezer holds that it's not a kli.
Right, the machlokus is whether or not this neger has the status of a kli.
Right.
So I wish we had some insight into this. Let me just see if by chance in the English version he adds anything here, which I doubt, but you never know, miracles happen. No. He has a footnote.
And everybody would say that you can't use it because the chevel is duck.
Right.
But the glistera, according to Rabbi Yossi, converts it into a kli.
Right. It converts the neger into a kli.
it makes the whole thing into a kli. What can you use it for? You can use it to grind.
Right. It's a pestle, they call it. Right. But how exactly the neger, does the neger in any way, I'm trying to figure out if the neger adds anything here to the glustera. Let me just think for a second. Maybe that's some element here in the equation.
The other way around, the glustera adds to the neger.
Well, no, I'm agreeing with you that al pidin, it's the glustera that adds something to the neger, but I'm just trying to wonder why Rabbi Yossi thinks that the neger now has the status of a kli. Is the neger in some shape or form meaningful or helpful for the function of the glustera, or is it just an external mechanical attachment that somehow generates a shame kli on the neger? I would love to see. If somebody, that's my intuition, that somebody would say,
Asukano
sekis benegas sheyesh brosho glustera bo omer shenital vi gudo mutalinol bo a mishnah o sekis benegas she'ein brosho. Okay, that's the next mishnah. So he has here a ritva. I'm afraid to learn this ritva because it's going to send us down a whole nother route. He says that the question is one of bittul. Listen to this. Right? Now, bona only applies if you attach something on a permanent basis. And that's called bittul. Bittul means that I want it to be there, and that's where I'm going to leave it. He says that once you attach this neger to a gluster, and the gluster has a function elsewhere, he says, then he's not being mevatel the neger. So Rabbi Eliezer holds that, again, I'm going to read to you the language of the Ritva. He says, gam bekli, meaning in this gluster case, yitochen shemevatlo shom, meaning he's not necessarily interested in using the glustera for his for other benefits, which he could, you know, if he's grinding his wheat or something, and therefore it's possible that he's being mevatel it there, and therefore it's nira kibinya. And he says that although Rabbi Eliezer agrees fundamentally that because he attached this glustera to the neger now becomes a kli. But Rabbi Eliezer holds that maybe he's going to be mevatel the kli, meaning he doesn't necessarily need the kli in another capacity, and therefore there is bittul, and once it's bittul, then it's nira kibona. Interesting. So again, the Ritva is offering a suggestion here that maybe, although this kli, which is called a glustera, will, once it's attached to the neger, will now generate a status of a kli to the neger, which again is not something that we were willing to postulate, but the Ritva is willing to go that far. Rabbi Lezer nevertheless is oser. And the reason for that is because he doesn't need this glustera as a kli. It does have a Torah's kli, but let's assume he's not preparing himself or anticipating that he would use this glustera in another context, which could be used, as we said before, to chop up his wheat or his pilpel. And therefore, although it does have a halachic status of a kli, and even Rabbi Eliezer says that, and the Ritva says that even Rabbi Eliezer agrees that the neger now obtains the status of a kli, but nevertheless, the kind of a kli that would be mafkia, what we call nira kibona, would have to be a kli that it's obvious he wouldn't be mevatel the kli. In other words, he wouldn't want to attach a kli to a structure of a building on a permanent basis. He wants to use it elsewhere. But there is a possibility that even in the world of kelim, you might have a nira kibona if he's not willing if there's no implicit statement or a gili of his intention that he wants to use the kli elsewhere, so that if the kli is going to now become a permanent attachment to the building, then it's nira kibona, even though technically it's not bona, and it's a kli. And therefore, the suggestion of Rabbi Yossi is absolutely rejected by Rabbi Eliezer, to suggest that now we're going to just attach this glustera to a neger, and that's going to solve my problem, because now it's nikar that it's not batel, it's not kavua in the structure of the kli. That's something that Rabbi Eliezer cannot accept. And the Ritva now goes a step further, and he says that if there was a kli gamur, which I assume he means a kli that would definitely be functioning in a different capacity, then gam Rabbi Eliezer would moda that therefore the Neger becomes a Kli because of its, by virtue of its attachment to the Kli Gomur, not to this case of a Glustera. And we're talking about a Glustera that's certainly not meant to be attached permanently to a building. It's going to be a Kli Gomur that's definitely designated for a more important purpose elsewhere. Rabbi Eliezer would say, therefore, the Neger itself now, by osmosis, sort of picks up the status of a Kli, and therefore it's no longer near a Kibinyan. So the Ritva is really not just some sort of conceptual insight into how Rabbi Eliezer's, the mechanics of Rabbi Eliezer, but it's also Halacha L'maisa. And he writes, Bekli Gomer Moda Rabbi Eliezer, Shemuta Linol V'Nagar. You're allowed to use this Nagar. But here, Nechlak, Mibnei, She Rabbi Eliezer Sover She Nagar Bebal Glustra is Mishamesh L'Shnei Tashmishim. In other words, although the Glustra has a function, but now it's functioning in the capacity of its attachment to the Neger, and therefore, B'Shimush D'Ne'ilah, if it's part of the Ne'ilah of the locking of the door, as opposed to Ketisha, is anal of Torah's Kli. In other words, not that it doesn't have a Torah's Kli in the theoretical sense, in the conceptual world, but as far as undermining the Nira Kibbona is concerned, it doesn't have a Torah's Kli to be Mafkia the Nira Kibbona. But if it would have been a Kli Gomur, where we certainly see that it has another Tashmish, and it's going to be designated, and continues to be designated for another Tashmish, then even Rabbi Eliezer would be matir to be Noel with this neger that's attached to a Kli Gomer. So again, I don't want to introduce the Ritva here because he's sending us in a whole different direction. We assume that the machlokas here between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Eliezer is a fundamental machlokas as to just whether you can attach a Kli to this neger and therefore give the neger a status of a Kli just by some mechanical external attachment. The Ritva takes us down a whole different pathway. In other words, even Rabbi Eliezer agrees that the attachment here between the Neger and the Glustera does in fact generate a status of a Kli to the Neger, but it's not Bittel. I mean, it's not the opposite of Bittel, meaning it doesn't demonstrate that he's not interested in Bittel, and this is only a temporary kind of thing. I just want to point out that there's a certain advantage or an attraction to the Ritva, because when the Mishnah says Neger Sheyesh Berosho Glustero, this is not some sort of a cosmetic attachment. He says in Hebrew that a Neger is a Yosed HaNikba Bechor. I mean, the English translation in my mind loses a little bit because he calls it a bolt. That's what he calls Neger is a bolt. I don't know how you associate what you associate and picture in your mind with the word bolt. But yesed means that there's a hole in the miftan, in the threshold, as we said before. And he puts in a yesed. He actually puts in a peg. And that's the way he sort of like locks the door, so that you have a door, and the door is held into place by this yosed. Now, what's at the end of this yosed? We're not artificially just mechanically attaching a glustra, some sort of a knob. Now, I mean, here I like the English translation. In the Hebrew, he writes, Rosho ove veroi lishchok bo pilpelin, kein machteshes v'tors kliolov. It sounds like it's really one object. It's not that he attached two different objects and just artificially tied them together. And if that be the case, I'm a little bit more tempted to accept the Ritva, that even Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah would agree that the Neger has the status of a Kli. The question is that enough to be Mafkia the Nira Kibbona or not? And we'll just add that if it's nital bi agudo, then there's a chevel, and it's and this neger is tied down to the chevel, and is tied, like the chevel is tied to the neger. So therefore, if it's strong enough, then we could certainly say it's muchach that it is attached to the delis, and it's omed l'ne'ila, and therefore he's not adding anything to the structure because it's already tied down to the structure. And even though he puts this peg into a hole in the threshold to make sure that the door doesn't move from its place, that's not considered nire kibone because of it's very much tied down with this chevel. And again, we still had the issue about, you know, whether this sugya at this point has to introduce Rosho Beglustra, Negesh Rosho Beglustra. Now again, during the course of the Shia, the thrust of the Shia, we've been focused on Nira Kibbona. But there's another dimension that I indicated, and that is the Muktza element. In fact, the Rambam, when he interprets Glustra, he doesn't like Rashi's pshat that Glustra is some sort of a, we called it a knob, but rather he says it's kamin rimo no tabas. And those indicate that it's eno asur betiltel. And some will say that what Rambam has in mind is the isur tiltel mukta. So in other words, he changes his bolt in a sort of artistic way almost. And it's no longer like a piece of wood which could be mukta. It becomes a kli. And if it's a kli that's designated for ne'ila sadelis, then it's not mukta. So that's another dimension to this. So we'll stop here. We ran out of time. We're up to the Mishnah here on Daf Kuf Beis Amid Aleph, which is three lines down from the top of the Amud. So wish you all a Chag Sameach.